As promised to y'all a long time ago, I'll be finishing Cameron's study on the book of Ecclesiastes. So if y'all want to grab a Bible and turn there with me this evening, we'll be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks a lot about how money doesn't get you anywhere in life and stuff like that. And this chapter is more talking about the fool and the wise man, and talking, giving helpful pointers for how leadership and government should kind of work. And there's some things in here that I'm not sure if they're supposed to, if they're as straightforward as they sound or if they have some deeper meaning. And as we talk through them, I'll discuss different ways they could be taken, both of which are very useful to our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, we'll read just verse 1 first of all. It says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." So we have a kind of modern phrase that, you know, a fly in the ointment, it ruins the whole batch. Another translation says a little folly can outweigh much wisdom. So, you know, no matter how good or how smart you are, if you mess up in some way, it can change people's opinion of you. And we have to remember this when we're out in the world, because, you know, we're ambassadors for Christ, for the church. And we may have a good reputation, but if we say the wrong thing, that can mess it all up. You know, we see a lot of times in society, whether it's somebody in the government or a celebrity or something like that, that they have all these followers and popular and everything, and then they say one wrong thing, and then they're never popular again, and they lose everything they had. And it's kind of the same way with us. If we have a good reputation out in the world, we need to make sure that we keep it so that we can bring others to Christ. Then Ecclesiastes chapter 10, we'll read verse 2 and 3. It says, "A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool." So in the Bible, there's lots of, we won't read any of them, but there's lots of verses, and whenever it's talking about something that sits on the right hand, it's usually referring to something good, something of honor. And also, you know, we have a phrase, you know, somebody's your right-hand man. They're your go-to guy. You can rely on them. And stuff like that. So he says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand. So that means if you're a wise person, your heart, your way you understand things and how you feel for people, it's very helpful and useful to you in the world. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 18. We'll be flipping back and forth between Ecclesiastes and Proverbs this evening. Proverbs chapter 18 in verse 2. Here again, he talks about the fool. Proverbs 18 verse 2 says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." So here he's saying the fool, he doesn't ever want to learn anything. He's not listening to what people have to say. He just wants to hear himself talk. You know, have you ever been talking to someone and you realize that they're only concerned with what they know? They're not concerned with what information you may have to give them or your opinion or anything. They just want you to know their opinions and thoughts. Well, in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, it says that this person is a fool. They're not a wise person. They're not a useful person to society. Then in verse 3 of Ecclesiastes, it said, "Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool." So a fool is known by his actions, and it's obvious when somebody's not too smart. The New King James says, shows everyone that he is a fool. So, you know, if we're acting like a fool, it's going to be obvious to everyone around us. Every once in a while we may can say something and get by, but for the most part, everybody's going to realize that we don't know what we're talking about, and we don't want to learn anything if we're acting like this fool. Then in Ecclesiastes, he starts talking about kind of how the level of knowledge or wealth that a person has doesn't necessarily determine what role they have in society, what place they have. So Ecclesiastes chapter 10, we'll read verses 4 through 7. It says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place for yielding. Pacify great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low places. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. So, verse 4, it says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. So he's saying, if you're accused of something, if you're doing the right thing, and you're accused of something, don't run away from the problem. Stand up for what you know is right. Don't back down. And then the second part of verse 4, it says, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. This means, so if you yield, if you run away from that problem, then it allows injustice to win. It means that, you know, whatever right thing you were doing now seems wrong to everyone else because you backed down from it. So when we're doing something right in the world, and if somebody calls us out on it, we need to stand up for it if it's what the Bible tells us to do. Then verse 6, he says, folly is set in great dignity, and the rich is set in low places. Another translation says, fools are placed in many positions of authority, while wealthy men sit in lowly positions. So, you know, you see this a lot in life, especially in politics and also relating to celebrities. You know, there's no shortage of people out in the world who are able to loudly express their opinions, but, you know, they act as the fool does in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Just out of curiosity, you know, it's talking about how wise men are set in low places and vice versa. I typed in on the internet, people that we should look up to, people who we should act like, and things like that. And it gave me a list of, I think it was 10 or so guys' names and 10 or so women's names. And some of the men's names were LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, Harry Styles, and Barack Obama. And then the women were Oprah Winfrey, Miley Cyrus, Adele, Ariana Grande, and Taylor Swift. So a few of these are basketball players, and some are singers, and then some are just known for other things. But, these names aren't really people I think we should look up to. I mean, you know, they may have good qualities every once in a while, but overall, they're not the perfect person by any means. You know, we should be looking to the Bible and the characters in it for our role models and things like that. Then verse 7 of Ecclesiastes. It says, I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. So it's talking about, again, the same concept where just because this person is riding this great horse, that doesn't mean that they're a wise man. They may be a fool. Then vice versa, just because this prince is walking like a servant does, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a servant. So just because somebody may have a lot of money or is well-known or something like that, that doesn't necessarily mean that they deserve to be in that place. And so Solomon, you know, here is warning the listener, whoever it is, not to give people positions of authority just because, you know, say they're your friend or their family member or something like that. If you're placing somebody in an authoritative position, you need to make sure that they can fulfill that role, that they're not fools and won't make dumb decisions, but they're wise and know what they're doing. Then Ecclesiastes chapter 10, in verse 8, he says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. So here's one of the verses. I don't know if it is a literal meaning or it has some deeper meaning. But I want to look at it for a minute for kind of, I guess, a deeper meaning. You know, talking about, well, if you make a plan for something that's not good, if you set a trap for somebody, it'll usually come back to bite you. And we won't read the whole story, but if you want to turn to Esther chapter 7, here Mordecai the Jew, he wouldn't bow down to Haman. And so Haman hated Mordecai for this, and the king then promoted Haman. And so Haman built this big set of gallows to hang Mordecai on, and it ended up coming back to bite him. In Esther chapter 7, starting in verse 9, says, "And Harbonah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, 'Behold also, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman.' Then the king said, 'Hang him thereon.' So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified." So here, you know, he tried to create this plot to kill this guy, and then he ended up hanging on his own gallows. You know, we see that a lot in society, especially with criminals. You know, they have some plot to, you know, rob a bank or steal or do something bad, and it comes back to bite them. Not just that they're caught, but, you know, they're hurt in the process, or it hurts them a lot financially or something like that. So when Haman was hanged on the very gallows that he built for Mordecai, it's the exact same thing as falling into your own pit. Then in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 9 through 11 now, it says, "Whoso removeth stone shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better." So here in verse 9, I take it to be kind of a literal meaning. So it says, you know, if you're removing stones, if you're working in a mine, in a stone quarry, or you're chopping wood, you know, there's dangers to those jobs. You know, you might have stone fall on you or a tree fall on you or whatever the case may be. So, you know, with every job, there comes different risks. If you're in a if you work at a job that, you know, labor intensive, you may get physically hurt. If you work with lots of money, you know, you may lose lots of money in some business transaction and things like that. So every job and action has some sort of risk involved. And here, I believe he's just warning us to, you know, watch out for the risks that are involved with any action, any job. Then verse 10, it says, "If the iron be blunt," talking about the axe, "and you do not whet the edge, then he must put to more strength, but wisdom is profitable to direct." So here he's saying, if you have an axe and you're chopping wood and the edge isn't sharp, well, you're going to have to hit the log a lot more to get it chopped. It's a lot smarter, it's a lot wiser to get a sharp axe and then cut the wood. And he says at the end of verse 10, "But wisdom is profitable to direct." So life's easier, you know, when you're smarter. We have the saying, "Work harder, not smarter." So sharpen your axe instead of using more effort. The New King James Version says, "Wisdom brings success." And so, you know, this isn't only applicable to chopping wood, but to just to any action, whether it's your job or government or leadership. You know, if we're smarter, it's going to make our job a lot easier in the long run. Then verse 11, it says, "Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better." And the New King James Version, it talks... It makes it sound like I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it makes it sound like the snake, it just can't be controlled. And the babbler is the exact same. In verse 11 it says, "And the babbler is no better," referring no better to the snake. And so just like the snake can hurt you at any moment, so can a babbler hurt himself or other people. You know, if you don't have a snake tamed, you know, it can come and bite you and attack you. You don't know what's going to happen. And if somebody can't control their tongue, well, they're liable to say something to make a situation worse, hurt your feelings, hurt them, do something. So there's no telling when someone will say something hurtful or damaging. It's the exact same danger as a snake. Then verse 12 of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 says, "The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city." So in verse 12 it says, it's talking about the words of a wise man, it says, are very gracious. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, in verse 6, we see the... Again, talking about the fool or the words of a wise man. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." So a wise man, you know, he'll say things that are maybe kind, but also things that are beneficial to the situations. But a fool, as it says in verse 12 of Ecclesiastes, it says, "The lips of a fool will swallow up himself." So the fool will destroy himself with his own words. In Proverbs 10, verse 14, it says, "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." Again, talking about the wise man can use his tongue appropriately, can understand what to say and when to say things in the right situation. But again, the fool, it says, the mouth of the fool is near destruction. So again, the fool's mouth, it leads him to an unsafe place, to a place where lots of trouble can happen. Then in verse 13 of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, it says, "The beginning of the word of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness." So the fool's words, they have no purpose whatsoever but destruction to himself or to those around him. It says that it's foolish, mischievous, and madness. It doesn't have anything good to say about it. And then verse 14 talks about the fool just talking constantly. It says, "A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell him what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him?" So he's saying, you know, he's just going to keep talking. You can't tell this fool anything. Turn to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 2. Again, it's comparing the wise tongue and the foolish tongue. Proverbs 15, verse 2 says, "The tongue of the wise man useth knowledge aright," again, talking about how he knows what to say at the right time, "but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness." Notice it says poureth out. It doesn't say trickle or dribble or pours a little. It says poureth. It's, you know, it's gushing. When we're acting like a fool, which I've done many times, I'm sure some of you have, and you're talking to someone, and you're acting like a fool, you're just saying stupid stuff and stupider, you know, you're not getting yourself anywhere except deeper in a hole. You know, you're falling into your own hole that you dug. So the foolish man, he just pours out this foolishness. Turn with me to Jude chapter 1 and verse 10. Here it's warning people against false teachers and false doctrine, but he's talking about people who, fools who talk about things they don't know anything about. Jude chapter 1 and verse 10 says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not," referring to these false teachers, "but what they know naturally is brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves." So here he's saying that they're talking about stuff that they don't even know anything about. They're preaching all this stuff. And it says that as brute beast, and those things they corrupt themselves. So when it says brute beast, it's referring to you know, animals have natural instincts. They know to breathe. They know to go catch food or find food. They know to find shelter and things like that. They just naturally know these things. And when it's talking about brute beasts, he's saying the same things. These people, they're just kind of following and saying whatever comes to their mind, and it's not leading them to a good place. They're following their brute instincts. And turn back with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse 15 says, "The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city." So here he's saying, you know, the foolish man, his the way he acts and the way he conducts himself, not only does it not help him in the world, but it hurts those around him. You know, have you ever been working on a project with someone and you see that they're doing something the wrong way, not the most efficient way? It just takes longer and longer. Or you're doing a project by yourself, and you look back and you're like, "Well, I could have done this and saved me an hour," or whatever the case may be. You know, I've seen a video on the internet a few times. I'm sure some of y'all have. This man, he has a handheld jackhammer. You know, you plug it in, and it hammers away the concrete and stuff. And it's not plugged in. He's just swinging up against the wall. You know, he was foolish. He didn't plug it in and let the machine do the work for himself. And, you know, it made this job take a whole lot longer than it needed to. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, starting verse 16, he starts talking about the problems with rulers. We'll read verse 16 and 17. It says, "Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season, for strength and not for drunkenness. So verse 16, he's just plainly saying that, you know, it's not good for a country when either the king is young or the rulers, the people who have authority, they're just out partying and drinking. They're not helping the nation or whatever the case may be. Then verse 17, he kind of compare and contrast. He says, you know, a country is lucky when the rulers can stay away from this partying. He says, when thy king is the son of nobles and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. So here he's saying when these people are eating and drinking in order, so that they can keep performing their tasks. They're not just partying, but they have the government or the kingdom or whatever the case may be. They have that on the forefront of their mind instead of just having fun. And then in verse 18, he starts to talk about your work ethic a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 18 says, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." So this is another one. It could be a literal or figurative, but you know, it's common sense. If we're not working on something, it's going to fall apart. If we don't take care of our house, well, eventually the shingles are going to blow off, the paint's going to fall apart, and you know, it's slowly going to decay if we're not working on it. You know, people see a rundown house and they think, well, it's because this person is poor. But here Solomon says, you know, it's due to laziness. I'm sure there's lots of cases where the people don't have the money, but a lot of times it's people don't want to get around to taking care of their house or whatever the problem may be. And it kind of continues off the idea that we talked about previously. If the kings or rulers are out partying and they're not working for the government or trying to do the right thing, if they're being lazy and slothful, well, then that government, it's not going to go good. It's going to go down the drain. It's going to fall apart because they're not working towards it. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 24. Here we see the same thing talked about with work ethic. Proverbs chapter 24. Starting in verse 30 says, "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and I covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." So here he's saying he was walking down the road and he sees the vineyard and a house of somebody who's not a hard worker, who doesn't have a good work ethic. You know, the vineyard's all grown up in weeds and the house is falling apart and stuff like that. And he's saying, you know, all it takes is a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding up of the hands. That's all it takes for us to get hooked on, you know, being lazy and not taking care of our job or whatever the case may be. Then back to the book of Ecclesiastes, verse 19 of chapter 10. It says, "A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things." So again, I think this is a literal meaning. I don't know if there's some sort of deeper meaning to it, but I take it to mean pretty much what it says. If, you know, everybody likes to laugh and to take part in a feast and to make merry and things like that. But if you don't have money, you won't be able to do those things. So you have to have this good work ethic that he talked about in verse 18 in order to obtain, I guess the fun and happy parts of life. And it says, "But money answereth all things," meaning that money can buy you all these things that you need in life. And then last, in verse 20 of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, it says, "Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter." So here he's saying pretty much just don't gossip. Even when you think no one is listening, you know, even when you think you're home alone in your bedroom, nobody's listening, just don't say it, don't think it, just don't let it come out at all. You know, we all know how quickly rumors spread, and it's not our job to be starting them. Turn to Acts chapter 23 and verse 5. here Paul's plainly states that you shouldn't say bad things, especially about the rulers. Acts chapter 23 and verse 5 says, "Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." You know, we're not supposed to speak evil of them because, you know, that's just the authority that they've been given. But also, it shouldn't be on our hearts to think evil things or to speak evil things, because eventually what's on our hearts eventually comes out of our mouth. And like we talked about before, when we're talking like a fool, it eventually causes trouble for us or somebody else. So that's my study for chapter 10 of Ecclesiastes. I hope it was beneficial to y'all. I know I enjoyed it. I hadn't ever really paid attention to it much, but there's a lot of good and basic life lessons and things that we can apply to our lives to become successful either in the business world or being a Christian out in the world. As always, if there is someone who would like to be baptized this evening or would like the prayers of the church, if you come forward while we stand, while we sing.